The sky crackles with color. Magic jets into the air and explodes in mist and sizzling lights. The festival is in full swing. It's loud. It's blinding. And it's the best thing I've seen in the past 2 months. Booths and stalls have popped up overnight. Ornate silk banners in the 9 colors of magic are draped and fastened to every frame, making the brocade ones dedicated to the recent fallen scarce for once. The streets flow like a river, as currents of wizards and witches hunt for the best food stall or for a good spot to shoot some of their magic in the air and add to the glazed smokescreen of color. Children and the untouched who can't cast throw powders instead and splash their friends in the face. Although the real festival of color isn't for months, this impromptu celebration radiates joy. It feels like forever since I've seen the populace let loose like this. But if I were to drop from my shadowed rooftop, their happiness would melt. And by all 9 gods, that's the last thing I want. For weeks, Belwar has been repairing and rebuilding the city, and tonight we celebrate the new Western Flying Station, the reconstructed homes, the life still thriving in this small coastal country. If there is anything my people deserve right now, it's one night of peace, of safety. So I stay nestled in my hiding spot, my eyes on the streams of color bursting in the sky. But my attention drifts to the blood-red magic in my hands, condensing into my mask, and then disintegrating into smoke over and over again. I know I'm saying the words, pulling the magic from the intricate design of my touch to create the spell that blurs my face and makes me the red woman. And yet I don't quit my muttering. It settles the heartache. As do the squeals of kids' laughter below me, sounding bright and full of life. I didn't realize how much I was depending on the festival to showcase how my people might be able to keep going. After my magic was used to cause Mount Gundak to erupt, killing 129 people, my country has trudged through grief, repaired the city, and most achingly, accepted the suspicion that I, Audra Belwar, did this to them. I've been living behind my vigilante persona for weeks, and I have to stop myself from plastering the thing to my face once again, right now, and become anything but the villain the city thinks I am. But I'm trying. I'm trying to feel okay with being just Audra Belwar for a solid minute and a half as my country celebrates its color and diversity and strength to live on after destruction. Luckily, no matter what they think of me, I'm still here. Every night I slip past my added security and watch for any sign the red woman is needed, that I am needed. A thud echoes behind me. Footsteps. I whip around, mask adhering to my face instinctively, and the blood red of my magic smoking in my palms, as I ready a ramming spell to throw the intruder off the roof.
"Hey, don't kill me. I brought you food," a familiar voice says.
The lights from the street below illuminate Jatin Naupur, my boyfriend. Boyfriend. It's strange thinking of him that way, considering he was my fiancé first, then a weird mix of rival, partner, and crush, though we were hiding our identities from each other for months. And now, he's just my person. My defense vanishes, and my magic evaporates.
"Okay, I guess I'll let you sit next to me."
"Don't act like you didn't save this spot for me, Smoke."
I smile at the truth of it. I even kept the shingles warm with some red magic. When Jatin sits a second later, I can tell he notices the heat, but he only smiles and hands over my bowl. Roasted silken fish sitting on a bed of rice and smothered in a spicy red curry wafts into my nose. I take the bowl greedily.